Pleasant evening to you. I am Greg Stancili, and welcome to another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. And this evening on deck, we've got Dr. Kia Lewis, and we're going to invite her now to step into the room with us and say good evening. And she will, of course, introduce her guest and the topic we're going to discuss on the Better Health Radio Show. Good evening, Dr. Lewis.
Hi, good evening, Gregson. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. How did the weather treat you, Gregson?
It was okay, you know. It was it had the rain, yes, but nothing too threatening, so it wasn't too bad for me.
Yeah, we're all thankful that I slept right through it. So we're all thankful that it was not as bad as it could have been.
Correct.
Yeah. I want to say a warm good evening to our listeners here on the Better Health Radio Show, a show which is aimed at raising public awareness of common health issues that affect us all. As usual, it is a pleasure for me to be here with you this evening. And let me say on the Better Health Show that we are not just interested in discussing health topics when we talk about like diseases or conditions, but we really want to give you a wider scope of health. So we want to look at the health system. We want to look at all the different things that affect it. And so this evening is going to be a little different, but a very special and interesting show nonetheless. Oftentimes we hear a lot about what's happening in the health system in Barbados. We hear lots of complaints, and many of the complaints, you know, they have their merits. We do have some issues here, but sometimes we don't appreciate what we have until we step outside. We hear also a lot on the media about what's happening in the US, the UK, the hospitals, that kind of thing, the, you know, the recent health advances, but we hear very little about what is happening in other places of the world. So this evening, I want to bring that perspective to you, our listeners, so that you have a wider understanding and perhaps a wider appreciation of what we have access to here. I have a very, very special lady with me this evening, somebody who I consider, and I think after you hear her story, you will consider her too to be one of our healthcare heroes, truly, in the truest sense of the word hero. And her name is Patricia Ramsey. I'm going to take the opportunity now to introduce Nurse Ramsey to you. She is a registered nurse and midwife trained at the Tercentenary School of Nursing and Barbados Community College. And get this, she's been actively in the nursing profession for 47 years. That's a lifetime, right? That's two lifetimes, depending on how you look at it. 47 years, wealth of experience. Doesn't stop there. She's worked in orthopedics, obstetrics, gynecology, oncology, surgery, ophthalmology, and pediatrics. She has traveled to accompany children and mothers to Venezuela and Canada for medical treatment. However, the highlight of her career is in pediatrics, where she has worked for 29 years, a staggering 29 years. That's almost as long as I've lived. If only. Anyhow, during this time, she trained as a pediatric intensive care nurse in the UK. So she's been in the UK. She's also worked in Bermuda, a midwife. More recently, the hearing screening nurse at the QVH. So all of you mummies who have had the privilege of having those babies' ears tested, you have encountered this beautiful lady. Yes? She's also very special, a missionary with Uplift International. So she has been involved in medical missions in Malawi for 21 years. She's also been to Zimbabwe, South Africa, Nicaragua, and she has led Uplift International teams and medical teams to Malawi for several years. So just listening to that introduction, you can imagine the stories that we are about to hear this evening. I want you to brace yourselves to do right. As always, Better Health family, we love to hear from you. Any questions or comments, please call in to us, 434-1790. That's 434-1790. And again, like we like to say, if you're a radio show, you can send your WhatsApp messages to 266-4862. That's 266-4862. So let me say a big welcome to our guest, Nurse Ramsey. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Lewis. And it is a pleasure to be on this program.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. Now, we know that Nursing is an extremely important profession. It's a well-respected profession. And as doctors, we cannot do what we do without you. But I'm always interested when I look and I hear from veterans like you, I'm always interested to know where that story started. So, Nurse Randy, tell us what piqued your interest in becoming a nurse?
Well, I'm going to be bluntly honest. Nursing was not my first choice of career. I wanted to be a policewoman.
Imagine that.
In those days, grandparents and so-called the shots. So my grandfather said that was not for me. He didn't want any person to throw me in the war. I had to abandon such plans. However, I had my first child in 1973 and was admitted to Ward B2 for the delivery of the baby at that time. And what really enthused me was the professionalism and the deportment of those nurses. Those were two key elements. And I call out a nurse by the name of Nurse Gloria Gay. And she was awesome. And as I was in as a first time mother, I was in for a lot of hours before the baby born. So I was able to lie down and observe and look on and not knowing what to expect, keeping rather very quiet. And from school days, I always said, I want when I come out of school, I want to have a job, a uniform job. So police, anything. So wearing a government uniform, and I want to be able to interact with people. So interpersonal relationships with persons. And my interest was, I said, well, this is what I would want to do. So I did apply to be a midwife.
That's wonderful.
However, I did that exam and they said I was not successful in that exam, much to my shock, because I don't think the exam is nothing that I should have failed. However, I was called to be come in for the nurse assistant program. Well, I didn't know the difference at that time, but I went in for that program, and it was at the interview that I was offered. One of the tutors said, I think this young lady should be given a chance at doing the general nursing program, which is also above the midwifery that I had really applied for. So sometimes you don't even know how God is orchestrating things that you don't even understand.
It is true.
And
It is true.
I was asked one question about why I chose to be a nurse by only one of the tutors. But my interview was mainly about my deportment at that time. Deportment is very important. It was about my deportment at the interview and how my hair was done. And if I'm a married woman now with a child, I'm coming into nursing, so many subjects to do. How am I going to cope with this? And we'll get further talking as we go ahead.
Yes. I think one of the things that really stuck out to me there is that you were actually inspired by other nurses watching them. So it's not like a
was.
childhood dream. You were actually going to be a police,
Yes.
but you were inspired by watching other nurses and you said, you know what, this is something that I would like to do. And I think that's beautiful. And it should inspire other nurses that what they do, it counts beyond the patient. It really does count. Yes. So then we recognize that you've had a wide range of experience. We talk about all these different fields that you have been involved in. But then you decided that your love was truly pediatric nursing. Tell us a little bit about what caused you to veer in that direction.
I never have a straight story. And as I said, I had worked in a lot of other areas prior to, as you read. And at that time, I was on the oncology ward, Ward C12. And the pediatric ward had an issue Those were the days when doctors complained for nurses, they just move you somewhere else. So I was called to the office and I wonder, what reason am I being called? And I was called to say that I am being relocated or reallocated to the pediatric ward. Well, pediatrics was hard. Not many nurses like to work pediatric. It was hard. It was tiring. You have to deal with the babies. You have to deal with the mothers, the godmothers, the granny. I tell you, so many people did. So it was not a love of mine. I didn't go there for the love of it, to be honest. I was sent there. But you see, when I went into nursing, I was a Christian, and I always believed that he ordered your steps. So I went. I didn't go reluctantly. I went, you know, with an open heart. And honestly, once I got into that unit, we had some sisters on those wards at the time that they live and breathe pediatrics. It was like in the blood. And they held you close. And once you showed the interest, they worked with you. And once I got there and settled into pediatrics, I wanted to do nothing else. I got into loving the children, the parents. You can interact. You can talk with them. Those were the days when parents, your child in hospital, people frightened, you know. Because you're leaving your child at 8 o'clock, you go on through the door and leave your child in the ward. And I became a mother to many, an auntie to many. And to be quite honest, doctor, some of those patients I am still in contact with to this very day.
That is beautiful. That's a testimony of the level of care that you've given over the years.
Well, I had my parents curse me out too, because the care you had to do, they thought, well, my child got a fever and you're going to put cold water on it? You're going to put something cold on my hot child? And those were the days. But then you would believe that woman and I became very good friends. Because then when she was talking or telling me off, I was dealing with the patient, because if he had a seizure, that would be my problem, not hers.
Right.
So I did what I had to do. Ignore her cursing. And when the story was all settled, then we had a chat.
Right.
And we experienced certain things, and certain things went certain way. That time I didn't have time to put her there to say that, you know, the baby has a fever. It is very high now. And I have to give him this. And I have to do this. By the time I done talk and explain all that, he would have a seizure.
Right.
So I treated and then talk.
So I think that a lot of nurses and maybe even doctors who are listening to your story can relate to the issues that you can have sometimes, that balance between wanting to communicate with the family and wanting to administer care. It can be tricky, but with time you get the hang of it, And the patients really do appreciate, and their families eventually appreciate what you are doing. So I think that... your story is very, very relatable. Now, not only did you love pediatrics and say, well, I'm going to stay on the ward in Barbados, but you actually went to the UK to train in pediatric intensive care. Tell us a little bit about that. What were some of the highlights of your training in the UK?
Well, as I told you, Doc, I never had a...
What, Nurse Ramsey, I'm going to start you right there. We have a caller. We have a caller on the line. We don't like to keep them waiting too long. So we stick a paper, we'll get right back to that. Well. Good evening, caller. Welcome to Better Health.
Yes, hi. Great, Dr. Lewis. How are you?
I am well, thanks. How are you?
That is good. Well, you know, all of my blessings come, more than all of my blessings come for you, and I pray that more than blessings be over you, and please stay more than blessed.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for blessing me with your presence. Good evening to the great nurse and Gregston as well, and thank you for taking my call. Let me multiply some blessings to the program. I have a couple of questions, maybe three, because the story is so interesting. It just keeps the mind turning over, and You know, if you could see me, you could see my mind just formulating these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yes. So the first. What would you say, Nurse Ramsey, was your greatest accomplishment in terms of using your skill at wanting to be a police officer in terms of being a nurse? Because you will note that a lot of people believe that nurses are just this namby-pamby, handy-care, very whimsical and fanciful and ethereal and esoteric. But nurses are the hands-on, and sometimes they have to use force. So I'm wondering, how did your police work or police philosophy relate to your nursing? What was your greatest achievement on that? My other question is that now, being a nurse who has traveled far and wide and who has all this experience, would you or have you ever thought about, or in terms of the particular course, you know, you're getting higher at being a nurse, you know, you may want to become a nursing practitioner, you may even want to go over to do what Dr. Lewis does in being a doctor. Have you ever thought about teaching or giving back to society based on your nursing care and your nursing education that you would have received? And my final question is that Dr. Lewis, we know that nurses and doctors work together. It is an extremely, it is something that the symbiotic relationship depends on both the care of the doctor and the nurse. Has there ever been a situation in which you had to rely on the doctor to use some of your own skills? You mentioned oncology, pediatrics, and so on. Have you ever been there with the pediatrician with a patient who has a child who has cancer, and you had to rely on the doctor in terms of the treatment of that child? And how would you have related? You mentioned you like a lot of interpersonal relationships with people. How would you have related between the doctor and the patient based on the skills and your own care, of course, and the philosophy of Christ has to come into play, where you have to be not only kind and patient in terms of service above self and care, but in terms of, you know, dealing with death and a child who may have cancer and they may die and they may not be wanting to, and you have to apply as well the spiritual principles to reassure that child maybe where he's going. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Very loaded question.
But thank you, caller. But as I said, I'm going to work. I going backwards. I starting from number three and go back.
No problem.
So he's talking about nursing a child with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I have nursed many children on Ward C8. At that time, there was no PICU. We nursed the children in the front section of Ward C8. And I have nursed many children with various types of cancer. Some survived and are still alive today, has gone on to grow into adulthood and now have her own children. I met them, the grandmother of the children, a couple months ago, sometime last year. I met them and it was like, you don't want to know how we greeted each other. And that was so, so, so great. I've also nursed those children who were not very fortunate and has passed on with cancer. And those are not very good times. But as I said, before I went into nursing, I was a Christian. I know the worth of prayer. I know how to talk to people. I know how to encourage them, because there are some things that man medicine cannot cure, but there are some holes and some facts that we don't have the answer for. So it is good to be a comfort, a confidant to the parent and to encourage them along that way. And I won't want to tell you that some of those patients and myself are still till they even know some of my children. So that is a long day, oncology line in pediatrics. Since then, we had a middle section then, where they used to nurse them, where they would be in their own side room. So they, and Dr. Lewis, you would have, in your time now, you would have non decide room in pediatrics. They're there. They have their own room. They can be nursed in there in privacy and so. So it is not an easy thing. And as a parent yourself, sometimes I feel that people think that nurses go to a plug when they go to work and plug in. And when they're going home, you just unplug it and you go. Nurses come home with feelings and with hurts and with pain. And you come home and you're calling back to say, how Pat doing? Any improvement? Huh? So it is a very tight and ticklish subject. And that is why many people do not like to work pediatrics. So when you find a nurse that likes that feel, you will see that the nurses in pediatrics worked there for many years. Next question was
if you thought about teaching or giving back in that way.
My teacher has to be at the bedside. That is where I do my teaching. I have taught many medical students, and today some of them are very well, they're into their consultancy state in the island. And I must say that there are some of them who still recognize you as the nurse who held my hand when I could not find the vein and who is saying, don't look at Dela. And the only thing the nurse ain't doing is,
continue. We have another call, but you finish what you're saying.
The nurse, and there's some who still recognize that up to today. Teaching it in the classroom is not my forte. I have done it for, to the nurse assistant, taught pediatrics to nurse assistant for a short while. And I asked them not to send me back to that. It is not my thing. I am a nurse for the bedside. I am a nurse for the sick. I am not a nurse for the paper, the books. Because some of the students, they write some things and you can't. I would just like to draw a line from the bottom to the top and mark zero. So to avoid me getting into that, please, ma'am, the marks out yet? That is not my calling. My calling is to work with the sick.
You're going to know your calling.
I am teaching at the bedside.
At the bedside
is where I'm going to teach. The other question, the first one.
So what we'll do, we'll pause. I'm going to take this caller because we don't like to have them holding on too long.
Yeah, and she's on the cell phone too.
Yeah, she's on the cell phone. So let's just take this caller.
Go ahead, please.
Caller, good evening. Welcome to Better Health.
Good evening. Good evening, Pat.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
You recognize the voices yet?
Pat, not
the
yet.
The kid want a better nurse than Pat Ramsey, Lucy Spooner. Bartlett, you don't want me call the rest then.
Yes, Pat. Please. Is this my lady from St. George?
Yeah, St. George? You call where it was. Where it was. You call it the right
where
thing.
Where was St. George?
Tracy.
How many years that go back?
That's one of the babies when I was nursed. About 33, 34 years now?
Ah.
34 years back.
Yes.
I love it.
I told someone only on Saturday that I have to make my way to see Tracy. Look now, I'm hearing you today.
In fact, I don't miss this call. I do not miss this program. So when I hear Pat Ramsey, I had no choice. I had no choice, Pat Ramsey.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I love how things happen. Your daughter and my daughter, they two together, you all this one at the convent. And then. Oh, boy. And then.
Yeah. To God be the glory.
All the time, Pat. So, nice hearing you, and we will link soon.
Nice hearing you as well.
All right, Pat. Keep up the good work. Don't give up.
Thank you.
Don't stop doing the ministry.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you so much, Carter. Pat, you're well-loved, Nurse Ramsey. I got to keep myself in order. Nurse Ramsey, you're well-loved. I wanted to ask you a question. We were talking about UK.
No, There was one another question the guy wanted.
Oh yes, it was about your transition, your desire to be a police into nursing.
Once my grandfather said that I could not be a police, you had to forget it. So, I like to see the regimental. So when I see the policeman on parade and that sort of thing, I still say, if I was in the police, or I'll be the first commissioner of police, woman commissioner of police. I was going to aim for that.
Mm-hmm.
However, in nursing, a nursing administration was nothing I wanted to aspire to. My calling is at the bedside, not in the office working with paper. That is not my calling.
Right. And like you said, it's important because we need our nursing administrators. They do a very, very important job, but we have to know where we are called to.
It is not for me. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I was asking you before, the last one, about your training in the UK. What were some, first of all, you went to train in ICU, pediatric ICU. So when we say PICU, we mean pediatric ICU. What were some of the highlights and then possibly some of the low moments of that training?
That training, first thing, how we got to go on this thing. Okay, it had come to a point where we were realizing that you had ill children, that once they got very, very sick, you had to take them to the adult ICU. And I think it was 8 beds at the time or 6 beds. And if you're taking up one bed with a pediatric child, then it depletes the ICU complement of beds. And I think that was one of the key factors. And they were thinking then of doing cardiac surgery in Barbados. By then we had Dr. Ishmael had come back with brilliant ideas. And we also had Mr. Tony Harris and that team there. And we started the ICU program. We had patients that needed an ICU. So they took the nurses, the more senior nurses, who used to work with the critically ill children on the ward, and we went into the children's ICU, right? So then they had to send somebody to train because we were working, training on the job, that sort of thing. But we needed an established, recognized university. So they sent two of us off to London to the South Bank University, and we were attached to the Great Ormond Street. That was Lucine Spooner and myself, and we were attached to the Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital, where we did the training. 10 months of gruesome training. After that, I knew I was not studying anything else. At that time, we did not know a lot about the computer and how to study using the computer. So when people were doing the assignments in, come work a night shift and do all the assignments, Lucina and I were spending days in the library because we were writing by hand and bloody, bloody. So it was long and gruesome, really turned me off from studying. But it was a very, very good experience. I saw things that I would never live long enough to see in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And I was very privileged to witness a heart transplant, to be part of that team. And actually was holding
the heart,
the recipient heart in my hand.
Mm. That must have been something.
That was a moment. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Mm-hmm.
I worked till 8 o'clock. I went home. I came back to the hospital for 11 because the surgery was going to be into the wee hours of the morning. And that is one outstanding thing in my nursing career, to be actually holding a life art in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So So tell me a little bit in terms of the differences between the medical systems back then. So you're going from Barbados, which is probably considered like a third world country, going to this first world country, and being immersed into, you know, new technology that you talked about. Of course, this was some time ago, but tell us a little bit about the differences that you noticed.
Yes, but it was so, but you see, we in Barbados do not appreciate what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we went there, you see the machinery, the IV pumps, and so they were shocked to know that we knew how to work them, that we had them mm-hmm. in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
So things like the IV pumps, we knew how to sort them out. We knew things about the ventilator. Huh? We knew there were things that they were not expecting us to know.
Right.
And we knew about them. And and drugs. Some drugs. You ever use this? I said yes. Vancomycin, a drug like vancomycin. Mm. They were saying, "Are you familiar with this drug?" Oh yes, we use it. Oh yes, we're custom using it.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, because like I said, sometimes we really don't appreciate what we have here.
No, we don't.
And everything is not perfect. It really isn't. No. But we do have quality care, especially in some areas. Quality. And, you know, we need to have an appreciation for that. And that takes me now to the other segment of this conversation, because I'm really interested in your work in Malawi. You know, I have to be very honest. I have heard some of these stories from Nurse Ramsey. Nurse Ramsey, you would have talked about the medical doctors that you would have supervised, medical students and so forth. And let me tell the public of Barbados, let me help you to understand, any good intern at the hospital or doctor knows, when, especially when you're starting, but even as you want in your career, that the nurses can be your best friends and they can teach you a lot. They've been there a lot longer and they can see critical mistakes that you are about to make and they can step in. And I found Nurse Ramsey to be extremely instrumental, even in my pediatric rotation, encouraging. She would help me with the babies. She was fantastic. So we have big, big respect for nurses and the role that they play in our development, not only as medical students, but as young doctors coming along and learning. Yes? But Nurse Ramsey, I want to turn our conversation, because we talked about first where we talked about Barbados. And now for the last 21 years, you have been involved in medical missions, and you haven't been going to Canada and the UK and all these places. You've actually been going to places where the medical systems are not quite like ours. Tell us about what led you to medical missions. Why have you decided to give back in this way?
Well, as I tell you, my story is never straight.
Mm-hmm.
My church was always a missionary giving church, and Apostle Alvin Nicholson is a well known theologian and established in Trinidad and Tobago and also in Canada. And God had led him into the missionary field, and he had gone to Zambia, I think was his first trip, and then he was invited over to Malawi. And then after going and seeing what was it and see the conditions, he knew they needed medical personnel. So the following year, when he came to Barbados, it was like, he said, well, yes, you're going to Africa on missionary work with us. I started laughing back because he had to be joking. Me with missions. I give him money, but I ain't going.
Right.
But when God calls you, you see, it's a different story.
It's true.
And once there were obstacles, had my back against the wall on mm-hmm. that first missionary trip. My husband, I had to deal with. Are you going to Africa? You know where you're going, down there. And it was when I was at the hospital, so I had just come back from doing the ICU course. So you mm-hmm. were away for nearly a year. I know you come back, you asking for vacation to go again, to go somewhere else. So my vacation was an issue. One thing, my church sponsored me 100%
mm-hmm.
to go on that mission trip. And that is That is something I'll never, 1999 was another turning point in my life when I started in the missionary field. By time we had the long, gruesome trip from Barbados to London, from London to Zimbabwe, from Zimbabwe to Malawi, by time you get to the airport after this 3 days journey, you really need a bath and a bed. But when you got to the airport and your eyes caught what was before you, your focus changed, self went back. And I am here to help. What can I do? So I was attached to work with a Canadian doctor. And that morning we left home about after 4 minutes to five to travel a 3 hour distance to go to do a medical clinic. And when we got there, people were waiting. And this doctor was clad in his nice whites and so. And when I see where he's seeing his patients, I almost faint. I take my shirt and I pull it up so because you don't want to know the odor. And this gentleman had big hydrocele and so. And he said, oh, we're going to do the surgery now. Well, I know things surgery. We going to do this surgery. Well, this time all the floor is bare back droppings and all this kind of thing here. And look, I in bare stitches. And then there was a volunteer from another country. I can't remember where she was from now. And she brought in the bag and she started taking out some papers and spreading it down. And I standing up in shock. I am in shock. I was in total shock, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then the patient, once he saw the paper put down, the patient lay down. He lay down. And then the doctor says, oh, Pat, we're going to inject this and that and that. So see me now, I opened the bag and I got the equipment out. A nurse is a nurse. So I get the equipment out and what he got and the receptacle there waiting as he draws the thing. And girl, he knelt down in his white pants and he did that minor up. And I was holding the thing and going and coming and going and coming. And look, when I got home that evening, my throat was so sore. I felt so sick. You know, I said, no, boy, I can't get sick on this mission at all. I took some medication. By next morning, I was ready to go again. But that was my first shocking experience into medical mission. So after that, what else could face me?
It's true. You've already painted a picture of an operation, but tell us when you're approaching the clinics, give us a picture of what that looks like. You talked about the infrastructure, the clinic. Tell us a little bit more about that and then the number of patients that are waiting. What's the waiting area like? Tell us a little bit. I remember one time you told me about doing medicine under the trees.
Which waiting area? That's why I want to know which waiting area are you speaking about? There are long lines of people standing up. Some women, they have walked hours to reach there. They have walked hours to reach there because they're here. A medical clinic will be held. A medical clinic would be held in Martindale's Road. So people walking from St. Lucie.
Wow.
In the wee hours of the morning. And you think it is lit. There is no street light and all this thing. People walk. And they come, when we get there, there are long lines, hundreds of people. Some days we can see 500 people, 400 and something.
Oh my goodness.
Two doctors and three nurses and stuff like that. And so it depends on where you are. Sometimes we are under a tree. Sometimes we are in a school. Sometimes we are in a church that is attached building. With grass, it's made up of grass and so. And there's no benches, or there might be mud benches. In other places, you'll get some chairs, but it is no fancy. Well, I've been going for 21 years now, so there are some places we go that they have good churches. In the last couple of years. We also go We also go into the prison ministry. Mm-hmm. We do medical clinics in the prison. But back on the outside, the some waiting areas are standing, the women sit, and the men sit one side, the women sit one side, depends on how long they're waiting. Sometimes the chief would say, well, they were here so long, could we give them, we buy something like a muffin or something mm-hmm. for them. We just buy out whoever is around there selling and offer them stuff to eat. All medication is given free, mm-hmm. so they don't have to pay for anything. We also, when we go to the hospital, people will have a prescription, but there's no money to purchase the medication.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something I wouldn't trade. There's no money that can attest for this. Like people will say, we all don't send the money. Why are you playing so much playing fair? But I never see money treat a patient yet.
It's true. You need the people.
I never seen money took your blood pressure yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you send the money, who is going to get it? And who said it's going to do what it's supposed to do? A drawing man will catch at a straw.
Absolutely.
And we do the work. We know. We have done minor ops. We send people to the hospital. We pay their fare to go. We give them the money to go to get the transport, get something to eat, get it to come back. Sometimes we have to purchase the medication for people we see because they can't buy the medication.
So, Nurse Ramsey, one thing I wanted to ask, are there conditions that you've seen commonly there that you don't really see in Barbados, or is it kind of on par?
No. There's those skin conditions and so we see down there. You get the normal thing like scabies and a dermatitis. Severe.
Mm-hmm.
Severe. Or we have a little fungus in the head here and everybody frightened. When you see a child with fungus in the head like tree stumps.
Mm-hmm.
We have a child already that the only way you could have treated that was to cut off those stumps. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it is like concrete.
Mm-hmm.
When you tap it, it sounds like concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to remove all that. You could imagine removing that and the child bawling. You don't have no sedation. Mm-hmm. So you give some analgesic
mm-hmm.
and you try now to ease around and ease around. And you could imagine the pandemonium that you go through sometimes with trying to treat cases. There are also some conditions that we have met, like we had a dermatologist went one time on the trip, and mm-hmm. he said in all his years of dermatology, he have never witnessed anything like what he saw in that area. Another mm-hmm. instance was one year, a doctor sent the large duffel bags of antifungals, and mm-hmm. I was saying, well, Where would we use this? What are we going to do with all this? Mm-hmm. But when we went into a village, every child in the village had needed that on the fungal medicine.
Mm.
We had to call in the whole evangelistic team because the medical team couldn't manage. We had mm-hmm. to call in the whole mission team
right.
to come. Some were washing, some were, and then some were applying, some were seeing. So we have seen tremendous improvement in the care of some of these people. I can't remember the name of the condition, but we've had this child from when he was it's a skin condition.
Mm-hmm.
One of our Barbadian doctors who have went on the team, she would remember it as I speak if she's on listening. And we've been treating him for a number of years, so it goes and comes. So like how we weren't there for a number of years, but when I see him, So I'm hoping that I would love to see him this year, God's willing.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we do, we go back into areas that we've treated before to get a follow-up and to see how people are doing.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Yeah. And very, very important, because they don't have that continuous access to care. So, you know, they need you guys to come back and see what's happening.
And one, various areas have various things. We have nursed a man. We have met a man who, from the time you look at him, you could tell where there's CA somewhere. And he said he knew he was going to die.
No, we have a caller, but you just finish what you were saying, and then we will have
the caller. He was going to die, but he wanted to know what he is dying from.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to organize for him to have x-rays and give him, like, he was a man, but we would give him supplements. There was nothing else out there. We only had baby formula. So at least he was getting something to drink in his stomach. What would go down, and he was very contented with that. So we have on the medical team, we also have pastors and so who do evangelism, and he was able to be led to Christ, and he was comfortable, very, very contented.
Yes, you were able to give him that comfort at the end of his life.
Yes.
So we're going to take Gregson. Do we still have that caller on the line?
Yes.
All right, so caller, good evening. Yes. Welcome to the Better Health Program.
A blessed good evening to you all. I have a question for Dr. Ramsey. I'm not going to stay long. Dr. Ramsey, I want to ask you, is Nurse Gay still alive?
I really don't. There were two Nurse Gays in my time there. I know one has recently passed on. That one was the tutor, the one from St. John. But I'm not sure what...
She was the one by the name of Gloria?
Gloria again. No, not Gloria.
Gloria is the one I mean, yeah.
Right. Gloria was the one who I had so admired. But I am not sure what is where she's at this point in time.
Yeah, because when I had my first baby boy, she was very nice to me. And then when she said, no, I don't want you back in here in a hurry. And she was going she would come for me on morning to help serve the morning, early thing, whatever to do in there, you know? She was so jolly. So I always wondered about her.
Okay, and her deportment was excellent, wasn't she?
Yes, yeah. And a beautiful smile. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you so much for calling, caller. So, Nurse Ramsey, you know, you've really delved into this story. You painted a picture, you know, of people who do not have the kind of access that we have here. And I mean, I don't even think that we need to make a comparison between the systems, because I think that it is a stark reality, the things that sometimes we take for granted. But not only that, but the vast need that is out there. And I can't help but think, as a doctor, if I were to see that, and that would change some parts of me as a person, you know? Just listen to your story. So I guess what I wanted to glean from you is, how has this work, this volunteer work that you are doing, because you have to raise funds. It's not like, you know, you're paid to do this. You raise the funds and you go the time away from your family and the sacrifice. But how, two questions, how has it shaped you as a person? And then what keeps you going back? Because you look young and sweet, Nurse Ramsey, but we know that you're finally retired, so you can't be in your 30s and 40s that you might look, right? So what keeps you in your retirement when most people would kick up their feet and say, all right, hang up their boots? What keeps you going back? How has it shaped you as a person, and what keeps you going back?
Let's go back to the mission. As I said, when I was called to the mission field, I then go willingly. I was kicking and screaming, not me for missions, I give him money, but that's the difference. So once you are called, I tried to stop going already, and it didn't work out well with me and God. So I never tried again. When it's his time, it would he would let me know. The point is that I have the compassion. And telling people about it is one thing. Dr. Kia, I give you this invitation over the ear. You have to make a trip.
Yes.
You still can't grasp it until you see it. Because I start telling you some things you would think as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I walk into PD. We had a child one night. We were doing a clinic, and the child was so dehydrated. The child was at the point of death. We had one Barbadian doctor with us, and she put down some prayer on that child. And then we keeping this child alive, you know, because this child almost the point of arrest. Mm-hmm. And I had a syringe just dripping the ORS in the child's mouth. Mm-hmm. We had to pack up, hustle up, and in the bus, because it is not like you're going from here to the hospital, you know. We're traveling miles to get to the hospital. And we play with the syringe drop by drop by drop. And after we are traveling and we still out from the hospital, you hear the child cry.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know how the other missionaries in the bus start rejoicing and behaving.
Mm-hmm.
That child was at the point of death.
The brink of death.
Then we got the child in the hospital now.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through there, you seeing people all on the ground, you stepping over, going through. We people here need to stop complaining about this and that and that and this and this and the third. I am telling you, and when we got there to get the nurse had to come and we said, you got to come now and put the IV in quickly, because you know when you dehydrated, the veins ain't holding much.
Yep, it's true.
And God was so good. When the nurse looked and she stuck her once and the IV went in. I don't know if she had a magnifying glass. And you was able to just open and run in mm-hmm. some fluid, you know?
Yeah.
It is what keeps me going. It's a call.
Mm-hmm.
It's a call. I have some days when I get up sick before six, or six is devotion. The only way you're not expected to be there is if you're dying or if you're mm-hmm. really sick. Otherwise, you're a devotion. The next time my bed is going to feel me on it is maybe about 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Because you have to pack. The medical team is very strategic to the mission, to the evangelistic thing. You want to tell people about Jesus, but I'm sick and I'm hungry and this. Are you telling me, what are you doing to help me in my situation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus fed them.
Yes.
They were following him and he fed them.
So, Nurse Ramsey, we speaking of a call, we have a caller on the line. Gregson, we still have that caller on? All right. Good evening, caller. Welcome to Better Health.
Hello. Good evening. Good evening.
Yes, they can hear you. Go ahead,
good
please.
Evening.
I am calling because I want to say hello to Miss Ramsey. How are you, my darling? I want you to know this is Gloria Gay.
Oh, my dear. What when, a pleasant surprise.
When the second person called and wanted to know whether I am alive, I felt so elated to think that my care impacted so well on both of you. And I still would love you the same way today.
Ah, wonderful. Wonderful.
It is nice, yes, so nice to hear you, Ramsey. So nice to
love
hear
you.
I know that you travel. Go ahead.
I hope you know that this child that you delivered would soon be 50 years old.
Oh, goodness me, don't tell anyone because they'll work out the age.
Well, it's a privilege to be alive.
Oh, dear, that is so nice to hear that. 50 years. That's wonderful. That's
In the next 2 months.
Oh, that's very good. You give that child my love. And I hope that is a boy or a girl?
A girl.
A girl. I hope that she's living up to all your expectations.
What do but Gloria, yes, we are. You need to look in the book for my number, and we'll chat some other time.
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Feel free to call. I am listed as well. You know my name.
Oh, very well. Yes. Okay.
So you can give me a call. You're more than welcome. Nice hearing you.
Yes, okay, please. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks so much for your call, Nurse Gay. Truly a privilege to have you on. Given all the glowing things we've heard about you, it's nice to hear your voice. So, Nurse Ramsey, we're talking about what inspires you to keep going back. And I think a good follow. Oh, we have another caller. Okay.
Yeah, time is getting away from us, but at least we can squeeze in at least one more call. Is that okay with you?
Yes, sure. Good evening, caller. Welcome to Better Health.
Yes, hi. Great evening. It's a follow-up question that I had based on the very spirited and interesting discussion. And now, I'm asking, based on all of her nursing experience from near, from far, from past, and from past and in these modern times, in these times in which we're going digital and so on with most of our medical instruments, and I'm asking, does Nurse Ramsey prefer the surgical aspect of the manual or this new technological digital on the ward and in the clinic? And based on that, how can she help somebody like me? What can we do to help the nursing in Barbados, especially for someone like me who wants or wanted to become a nurse, a new person without the training that you have, thank you very much, Nurse Ramsey. Thank you, Dr. Lewis. Have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you, caller.
Thanks for your call. How can I help? First, we have a lot of... First, you have to have the certificates to be able to enter BCC to do the nursing program. When I train at the Tercentenary School of Nursing. My program was a three-year program. And at that time, you got a certificate. I understand now that it was a three-year program at BCC, but now it has gone to a degree program, so it is now a four-year program. But you must have the basic certificate, the English, the math, a science. I think there are either four or five certificates you are required to get into the nursing program. There are various areas of nursing that is for the RN program, but they also have the nurse assistant program. And they also, I think this one is at the Polytechnic, there is the care of the elderly program. So there's various areas. They were doing the pediatric program now here in Barbados. And they're also trying to improve the system. We cannot dwell on where we were. We don't want to be left behind in the world. And the whole world, it has gone now with all this digital and technological. 3 years ago, we could not be doing this. Oh. I am in my living room, you in your living room. So we have to move with the times. So, but I'm still a pen and paper person, but I'm getting a little better with the technology. But I still like the pen and paper. They say all habits are hard to die. Mm-hmm. But I feel we have to move ahead with the times or we'll be left behind.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Medical technology is advancing quickly. Yes. And, you know, really have to keep up.
One time when you go into hospital, you had to get a cut from sternum to umbilicus to this and that. Now you get a keyhole, one or two holes, and do the same operation, and gone home. One time when you had to get cataract surgery, you had to go in the day before, you had to put in this amount of drops at this time, and that. Now you go and get a cataract done, and you go home the evening. So things have really changed. I'm glad that I was in the old system, and I'm also happy that I'm here in the present system to see how the little of that, most of the old, and some of the new. But if
transition.
I might just join on this one bit, after my retirement, I went back to the hospital and I did a stint in the hearing testing program for the newborn babies. And Dr. Lewis, that was a joy.
Mm-hmm.
I really and thoroughly enjoyed that part of, that was after retirement. So I was happy to be out and about, get to meet new nurses, because now, I'm near to the allotted score that mm-hmm. they have to give you. So it was good to meet new nurses, to catch up with some of the old, the few old faces that are around. And it was such a pleasure to work.
I hope everybody's doing what you said after return. They wouldn't let this lady return. But you know, good work, you know, it was a reward for good work. More work, right? When you have, and Nurse Ramsey was actually featured in the newspaper. We had, there was an article on you and your work, your contribution in, to the system. So we know that you have done fantastic and very important work over the years. We have to wrap up the program, but Nurse Ramsey, I cannot wrap up after hearing all of your stories and sharing your experience. I want people to know how they can support your work. We don't have a lot of time, so tell us very quickly a little bit about the organization and how they can support your work, how they can get in contact with you and support the work, because I believe that you're going to Malawi again this year. Yes, you had a little break during COVID. So very quickly, in a minute or two, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, well, I am part of the missionary organization called Uplift International, and we are a short-term missionary group, and we go to Malawi and other parts of Africa every year. But the Barbados contingent, we go into Malawi. Other parts of the mission go to Zimbabwe, South Africa, Uganda, Kenya, and I can't remember the other one right off my head. So we are doing a vast good work. As you heard, I am one of the nurses who go on the medical team. Everything is voluntary, so you need to make your own funds for your airfare. You need to make your own funds for your upkeep. So we're looking at $6,000-$8,000 per person. If God calls you, He will provide. He will send persons to give into you, but you also help yourselves. So tomorrow night, God's willing, I'll be having one of my fundraisers at the Evening Light Pentecostal Church. And that is in the form of a medical seminar. So I'll have doctors coming to share on the hot topics that we're hearing about. We'll be hearing about long COVID. We'll be hearing about NCDs. We'll be hearing about men's issue. An exciting plan is on. We'll be showing clips of the missionary work we do in Africa. So I invite $25 per ticket. $25 is for the ticket. And you can come, refreshments would be served, and enjoy an evening of fun and fellowship and take away a great knowledge.
Yeah, and I really like the fact that even in fundraising, you're still looking to put medical knowledge out there. So you're still giving that in a significant way. I think that is fantastic. We've had a fantastic show with you this evening, Nurse Ramsey. It's always a pleasure. You are a really good storyteller, I have to say. You kept me at the edge of my seat. And I feel like many other people have had that experience. And it was so good to hear people that you've impacted their life calling in and, you know, to hear you catching up with persons. So I've had a really good evening. I want, as always, I want to thank you so much for giving up your time this evening to share a little bit with us. I hope that our listeners, I hope that you take away the importance of nurses in the medical team, the impact that nurses can have on persons, not just, you know, who they're nursing, but other persons who want to get into the field. I hope you take away the importance of giving back. Everybody is not called to go, but we're hoping that some people hear this and think, well, you know, maybe I should go and give back. But those of you who are not called to go, I hope that you feel inspired to give in some way, whether it's to this mission or another, to give so that other persons in other parts of the world can receive medical care. And I hope that we go away with a sense of gratitude, understanding that our system is not perfect. There's so much work to be done, but we have so much to be grateful for in terms of the level and the quality of medical care that we have access here to in Barbados. So many other people would love to have this level of care. So I want to say thank you, Nurse Ramsey, for sharing your stories. I'm sure you've inspired many. Thank you to Starcom Network, as always, for having us to do better health. Thanks, Gregson, for being with us this evening. And I really want to thank our listeners for calling in and interacting. We really look forward to having a show with you next week and the following weeks. You know, we pray blessings on you, and we will see you in another, or rather hear you in another Better Health show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And thanks to the operator there. It was nice being on the show. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And to all the listeners, I really enjoyed talking to you.
Pleasure was ours. Pleasure was ours. That's Miss Patricia Ramsey, Nurse Patricia Ramsey, there for you. She says she's retired, but doesn't seem like it because she's a busy lady. Thanks for your company here on the Better Health Radio Show. Thank you so much, Dr. Lewis. And like you said, we will hear you, God's willing, next weekend, Sunday, 6 o'clock, for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. So, ladies, have a wonderful evening and a good work week. All right.
Dario.
Bye-bye.